since this mind is your mind, this man, this manifestation or image, is your body. The expression of your mind, your mentality. In the first edition, Mrs. Eddy writes, "You, the immortal, have a perfect and divine form." But this form is not matter, for as she wrote in Unity of Good, there is no matter. Jesus knew that the body is but a reflex shadow of immortal soul, spiritual understanding, true identity, and that it is impossible to lose this. For as the scripture saith, it is the image of God, of your mind. Mrs. Eddy knew that as we learn to see rightly, quote, thought will finally be understood and seen in all form, substance, and color, but without material accompaniments. The potter is not in the clay, else the clay would have power over the potter. As material knowledge diminishes and spiritual understanding increases, real objects will be apprehended mentally instead of materially, unquote. Mrs. Eddy told Calvin Fry, "What thou needest to know is that mortal mind has translated the body and its functions into matter. An immortal mind gives back the original with its functions preserved and harmonious, but not in matter, but as and of mind. The body will always be tangible, as when Jesus saw and spoke with Moses and Elias on the Mount of Transfiguration. There Jesus and the disciples saw and heard, but not as not in matter, but as and of mind." Creation is the disappearance of mortal sense and the appearing of God's ideas. Mind speaks and form appears. Mind thinks and the form, the body called man, appears. Man, idea, image, is definite, specific, individual, having form, outline, tangibility, quality, and quantity, as well as color. But this man, mentally created, is only the manifested body, not the mentality, just as the painting you paint or the sculpture you create are not the creator. What you are as mind and what you create, man, are not identical. They coexist as cause and effect. Principle and its ideas are one. In the third degree, science and health, mortal mind disappears, and man, as God's image, appears. The grandeur of the Word, the power of truth, is again casting out evils and healing the sick, and it is whispered, "This is science." In this science, God can only be understood through the ideas that express God, namely, the ideas that constitute mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, all of which Mrs. Eddy in the first edition tells us we are. There we read, "God and man are soul, true identity, spiritual understanding, and body, its shadow. The true relationship of soul to body is that of God to man. Soul and body, God and man, are inseparable. There can be no separation between you, mind, and your thinking." Mrs. Eddy makes it clear that there is no matter. Today, advanced physical scientists have arrived at the same conclusion, agreeing with Albert Einstein that matter as matter does not exist. Therefore, your body cannot be matter. When correctly seen, the body, man, reflects your mind or thinking, your mentality. It is your thinking made visible. Shakespeare said, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." How did Jesus think of his body? He thought of it as good, as mental, so he had complete control of it. He was self-governed, governed by his God-mind. Thus he made himself the Son of God. So should we do and be. The first edition states, "God is not a separate wisdom from the wisdom we possess. If we, in our ignorance of God and reality, think of our body as mortal and material, this kind of thinking makes it so, makes it subject to sin, sickness, discord, death. If we instead continually think right, healthy, harmonious thoughts, and so make ourselves the Son of God, the body will then show forth health and harmony, since the body is the mirror that reflects our thoughts. Thinking of our body as material and mortal, we can't see how it can be the image and likeness of God, mind. But if we, like Jesus, think of our body as spiritual, perfect, and good, our thinking will make it so. And we will awaken from this mortal dream, this mortal existence that is a dream from the womb to the tomb. What does the healing? Mrs. Eddy's writings teach us that mind produces all action. Once we understand our God-given dominion, we can impart healthy action to the body. Healing results from knowing the truth, from our understanding of our oneness with the mind that is God. From our wedding to this mind, or principle, that is love. What does the healing? In her article, Principle and Practice, Mrs. Eddy wanted us to see that it is the healer's understanding of truth, of the operation of divine principle and his application thereof, which heals the sick, just as it is one's understanding of the principle of mathematics, which enables him to demonstrate its rules. Knowing our mental power, we should meet sickness fearlessly. Truth brought to bear on any error by our opposite and verbal argument against error, Mrs. Eddy taught, begins at once to destroy it. The body, being unintelligent, cannot speak for itself. So, when we argue mentally against an erroneous physical condition or position, we can destroy it through mind, even as we have produced it through mind. As we combat the error and belief of life in matter with the truth that life is mind, soul, true identity, we will form the body anew, and it will resume its healthy functions. We will prove that in reality all is mind. All is God, infinite good. There is no matter. Nothing is real but God, infinite good, mind and mind's idea. Everything else is hypnotic suggestion, illusion, that disappears when spiritual understanding enters. There is no substance in belief. Your matter body is a belief only. Hence, it is not substance, Mrs. Eddy declared. It is a belief in anatomy. Christ held his person all the same when his body was buried. It could pass through matter and walk over matter, water. But it could have no pain or inflammation because it was not in matter. In the belief that the body is substance is embraced by the whole error of sickness and death. Contest the error and belief of life in matter with the truth that life is soul, not sense, and you will form the body anew, and it will resume its healthy function. Mrs. Eddy taught Martha Wilcox that there was never something outside and separate from her thought that could harm her. She showed me, states Miss Wilcox, that the real danger was never this threatened attack from outside my thought, where the personality seemed to be, but that the real danger was always within my thought. She made it clear that my sense of personality was mental, a mental image formed in my so-called mortal mind, and was never external or separate from my mind. This supposititious mortal mind outlines itself as a belief of a material personality with form and conditions and laws and circumstances. In fact, with all the phenomena that are embraced in what is called material life and personality. And then she showed me that not one single solitary fact in this whole fabric of supposititious evil was true. She showed me that I must detect that all these phenomena were only aggressive mental suggestion coming to me to adopt it as my own thought. Mrs. Eddy often said, error comes to you for life, and you give it all the life and power it has. She assured me that because mental practice is mental, the only place I could meet it was within my own mentality, and the only way I could meet it was to give up the belief in a power and presence other than God, my true mind, or truth. She showed me that this within enemy could never harm me if I were awake to the truth and active in the truth. After this talk on mental malpractice, Mrs. Eddy opened her Bible and read to me from Luke 16. She no doubt realized that at my age of growth, I thought of creation, that is, all things, as separated into two groups, one group spiritual and the other group material, and that somehow I must get rid of the group I called material. But during that lesson, I caught my first glimpse of the fact that all right, useful things, which I had been calling the unrighteous mammon, were mental and represented spiritual ideas. She showed me that unless I were faithful and orderly with the objects of sense that made up my present mode of consciousness, there could never be revealed to me the true riches or progressive higher revealments of substance and things. The two lessons I received that first morning were fundamentally great. First, I was to handle mental malpractice within my own mentality. Second, the objects of sense, when correctly understood, are really ideas of soul. There are not two groups of creation, but just one. Deal with thine adversary quickly. Mrs. Eddy discovered that the only law in existence is the infinite good we call God, the principle of man which controls man and matter. She urges us to deal with our adversary quickly. To a student she wrote, to conclude quickly on the treatment of error was the rule our master left for casting it out. Banish the temptation or the disease at once from the mind, and suffer it not to plead in its own behalf. It is not faith, but understanding we need in science, since all discord is illusion. Until personal sense error is doubted, it will never be controlled. Sorrow or suffering is always from a belief, never from reality or truth, since mind instead of body is the font of all suffering. Can the body suffer without mind? No. You are therefore a law to your body. You can find and experience the sovereign, ever-present antidote for error. In the case of an accident, contending you are not hurt, your body, obedient to mental control, will yield to this fact. Why? Because Christian science recognizes that this mind is the only lawgiver, omnipotent, infinite all. Hence the divine mind, your real mind, is the sovereign appeal, and there is nothing in the divine mind to attenuate. In Christian science, we learn that the body becomes inharmonious through mortal mind alone. Mrs. Eddy explains, fear changes the entire secretions of the system and the entire mechanism of the obedient body. Remove the fear of disease, and disease will disappear, for the body is restored through a change of mind. Mind is mightier than matter, and controls the body whether we do or do not admit this. Writing on page 411 of the first edition, in her chapter Healing the Sick, Mrs. Eddy states, a mother, informed of the imprisonment of her son, instantly falls dead. Here organic action has stopped from no other than a mental cause, and yet we are so buried in the rubbish of supposed life in matter, we cannot or do not let this falling apple point to the principle it reveals. What is the principle it reveals? That your own right mind is the principle. Your own right mind, when free of hypnotic suggestion, free of ignorance of your oneness with God, possesses sovereign power to think and act rightly. This sovereign power is yours through spiritual understanding. It has nothing to do with the Adam dream, mortal personality, which is only hypnotic suggestion and not reality. Of mortal personality, Jesus said, "The flesh profiteth nothing." And Mrs. Eddy said, "I got Mary out of the way." The sovereign power that is ours is through spiritual understanding only. The sovereign power that comes with our wedding to truth, in which we contemplate and become one with the God character. We all need to wake up. It is you, your right mentality, your true consciousness that is God truth that does the healing. Physician, heal thyself. If you heal yourself, you heal those calling upon you for help. We all have a lot of waking up to do. To know we are soul. Soul is characterized in Mrs. Eddy's writings as true identity, spiritual understanding, and not body, is starting right. Mrs. Eddy tells us in the first edition, we all must gather more spirituality, more impersonality, more honesty, truth, and love, she said. Accomplish the subjugation of self and the love that seeketh not alone one's own good, but another's good by preferring one another, and you will have dominion over yourself and the earth. This is what Mrs. Eddy did, and her wonderful healings got the attention of the world. When we are conscious of truth, our mentality is the divine mind or divine consciousness that creates good only. Finding that our own real mind is God, quote, is not losing man or robbing God, but finding yourself more blessed as principle than person, as God than man, as soul than sense, unquote. Through Jesus' teaching, we discover our identity as sons of God and learn that we can transcend the death of the material body. Mary Baker Eddy takes us up the next step, revealing the truth hidden throughout the scriptures, that immortal men and women are models of spiritual sense, drawn by perfect mind, our real mind, and reflecting those higher conceptions of loveliness which transcend all material sense. She saw there is no God up in the sky. Instead, she realized our own right mind is the only God there is. Only as we learn spiritually what we already are can we have dominion over all the earth. The prophets, Jesus, the apostles, and Mary Baker Eddy gave their lives to help us see that right now, in reality, we are one with all that God, infinite good, is. Mrs. Eddy, like Jesus, could say, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Unquote. Just think of what it must have meant to her to see that right now, in reality, we are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and that our being is composed of the divine ideas that constitute these seven synonyms for God. Because she knew this, she could heal instantly and raise the dead. To most people, even today, God remains merely a word, a term, something outside of ourselves, outside our own consciousness. God, infinite good, has not become a power, a living reality, except to a few great spiritual thinkers. The purpose of this book is to help us see that our own mind is the power for good, that we only need to awaken out of the Adam dream to find ourselves mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, which Mrs. Eddy's divine revelation in the first edition tells us we are. Once we see that God, our mind, is the source and condition of all existence, we can say, as Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." And as St. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." study, and spiritual growth necessary. The age in which we are living has not yet developed this spiritual understanding. We still seem to be in the consciousness where the physical is affected by seeming misfortunes, griefs, sickness, and death. But we have arrived at the spiritual age, and there can be no new birth except through study and spiritual growth. The new birth will take place as we thoroughly study the divine system Mrs. Eddy has incorporated in the textbook. This entails a deep, consecrated research of the seven synonyms for God, and what each synonym means and stands for. These synonyms tell us what we divinely are. There can be no skipping of a few rungs on this heavenly ladder to spiritual understanding. Only a dedicated, hallowed investigation of our textbook, paying close attention to every word, will bring us the spiritual understanding necessary to find what each synonym for God includes as our divine nature. Eventually, through consecrated study, we will all reach that spiritual plane where the divine system is understood, and we can use it just as we today use the system of mathematics and music once we have learned them. We will find the treasure that was ours before this Adam dream overtook us, that was ours before Abraham was. Once this system is understood, it will be seen there is only the recognition of the God character, infinite good. Then shall we press on to life's long lesson, the eternal lore of love, and learn forever the infinite meanings of these short sentences, God is love, and all that is real is divine, for God, our real mind, is all in all, unquote. All our efforts and energies of the past and present are working together for our good. The time is coming when we will realize we do not have to beg God for His love any more than we have to beg the sun for its rays. James Russell Lowell, in The Vision of Sir Launfal, said, "Heaven is given away, and God may be had for the asking." We must cast out the belief that we are not there yet. Jesus said, "Know that you already have what you're asking for." But this knowing requires study, imbibing the Spirit, and application. Rote learning will not suffice. We must work to understand, or our fate will be like that of the man who bought the preacher's horse. "I must warn you, this animal only responds to church talk," the preacher told him. "Go is praise the Lord, and stop is hallelujah." "I've worked with horses all my life," said the buyer. "I've never heard of anything like this." Mounting the horse, he said skeptically, "Praise the Lord." The horse began to trot. He repeated, "Praise the Lord," and the horse broke into a gallop. Suddenly the buyer saw a cliff dead ahead. Frantic, he yelled, "Hallelujah!" And they came to a dead stop a foot from the edge. Wiping the sweat from his brow, the buyer said, "Praise the Lord." It is important to have the right words, the right commands, if we don't want to go over a cliff. We need to place control in something safer than the shattered traditional notions of security. Quote, "Man is properly self-governed and all harmonious, only when he is guided rightly and governed by his Maker," unquote. Your own right mind, divine truth, and love. To help us in this proper self-government, we need the printed word that can be studied until understanding reigns and we realize thy kingdom is come. 100 years ago, when Baron Bulwer Lytton wrote, "The pen is mightier than the sword," he could have had no idea how prophetic those words would be. In the information age, the ultimate weapon against any adversary is information. The more infinite good is communicated, the more it will grow in the understanding of men. For this communication that results in our wedding to God, the printed word, the word that can be studied, is needed. In the February 1932 Christian Science Journal, is an article stating, quote, "Christian Science, much more than any other religion, depends on print rather than on speech. To an exceptional degree, this science depends on the printed word for expansion in the thought of its present adherents and for extension to other people. For this reason, and because Christian Science is both religion in the right sense and science, it requires much use to be made of the careful and correct expression which is most likely to be obtained in print. Indeed, this requirement is imperative, not only for expansion and extension, but also for protection and stability." Unquote. In our progress, we are immeasurably helped by the written record left by those who have gone before. All through the ages, there have been spiritually endowed men and women who have known conscious union with infinite good. Moses, Elijah, all the Old Testament prophets, along with Christ Jesus, John, and Paul, were great spiritual thinkers. Though they were not widely known, and their teaching was not widely practiced during their own time, their words have come down to us in Scripture to be understood in a new spiritual way in Christian Science. Truly, our Christian Science library is the temple of learning. Even Jesus' teaching was not understood for nearly 2,000 years, until the advent of Mary Baker Eddy and the Little Book that brought the second coming of the Christ as a science. The light we have today is the result of the work of the prophets, of Jesus, the apostles, and of Mary Baker Eddy, who so faithfully transcribed the great revelation of infinite good's allness and evil's unreality. Their work is done, and ours is before us. It is up to us to grasp it, to continue the struggle of learning to bring spiritual sense and joy into a world of darkness, cruelty, poverty, and misery. Learning has liberated more people than all the wars in history. Jesus foresaw that the final unfoldment of the Christ would appear in the form of a book. See Revelation 10:2. Embedded in this textbook is the system of Christian Science, which must be learned, just as the system of mathematics or music is learned. But learning the system of divine science takes deep, consecrated study. Quote, "Centuries will intervene before the statement of the inexhaustible topics of that book becomes sufficiently understood to be absolutely demonstrated." Unquote. The task we face takes time, persistence, and the pressure of truth. In this work, let us not forget that a diamond was a chunk of coal that made good under pressure. When shortcuts tempt us, we will do well to remember the experience of the impatient scholar. Bored with meditation, he asked his guru for a quicker route to self-knowledge. The teacher advised him, "Go out into the rain and lift your arms upward. That will bring you revelation." The next day the scholar complained, "When I followed your advice, all that happened was that water flowed down my back. I felt like a complete fool." "For the first day, that's quite a revelation," replied the guru. Let's not be so impatient. However long our journey takes, let us press on. After all, Moses went into the land of Midian and spent 40 years of his life in the wilderness as a shepherd. There he gained the divine schooling necessary for his great future life work. You and I, in our land of Midian, our own wilderness, may not be sheep herders, but we are getting the training that helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony. What is the ultimate harmony? To learn the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God good, and that nothing exists beyond the range of all-inclusive infinity. Mrs. Eddy has more than 60 references to harmony in Science and Health, and uses them to indicate the true meaning of health. A harmony of ideas moving in the rhythm of science and system. True harmony is learning to love, like the Good Samaritan who loved the man fallen among thieves, meaning all of us. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil, consecration, heavenly inspiration, and wine, inspiration, understanding. Infinite good, God, permits nothing but its own nature, which is your true nature and mine. The love and the unity we attest to mark us as Christian Scientists. By loving our brother even when we have differences, we practice and exhibit the holiness of God as our leader did. Mary Baker Eddy's writings pour in the oil of consecration and the wine of understanding, which help us follow her lead. Acting on her teaching makes our love seeable, gives it a form the world can observe.
Continuing Helen Wright's book, Made Whole Through Our Marriage to God.
Seeking Understanding of Infinite Good. Mrs. Eddy saw the time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis, when immortal mind, your real mind, and its formations will be apprehended in science, and material beliefs will not interfere with spiritual facts. The counterfeit can only come up as a falsity, a negation, because the truth is already there. If a truth didn't exist, no lie could be told about it. Quote, "The last appearing of truth will be a holy spiritual idea of God, your own right mind, and of man, without the fetters of the flesh or corporeality. The day star of this appearing is the light of Christian Science, the science, with its system, which rends the veil of flesh from top to bottom. The light of this revelation leaves nothing that is material, neither darkness, doubt, disease, nor death. The material corporeality disappears, and individual spirituality, perfect and eternal, appears, never to disappear." Unquote. Why? Because there is no return to a position outgrown. Thought must become spiritualized and godlike in order to apprehend spirit, or what we in reality already are. Truth, Mrs. Eddy teaches us, is without beginning or end. What created 2 times 2 equals 4? It always was. There has never been a creation. Your true being always was. It never began. Our great, our only need is to renounce the mortal concept of life, forsake the perishable, transient sense of things, leave the material basis of belief, and unite with the one mind. All that seems to have a beginning is error, evil, illusion, hypnotic suggestion. All that is really going on is the one and only I that I am. Knowing only your real mind's own all presence, all knowledge, all power. Mrs. Eddy saw that perfection and wholeness are our present state. Therefore, we should steadfastly claim perfection and wholeness, claim every quality and attribute that characterizes God, defined as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. When we understand these 7 synonyms through the infinite ideas of mind, the infinite ideas of spirit, the infinite ideas of soul, the infinite ideas of principle, and the infinite ideas of life, truth, and love, then we will understand Mrs. Eddy's great revelation in the second coming of the Christ. We have not yet understood 1/1,000,000th part of what science and health reveals. The 7 synonyms for God tell us what in reality we are, but our true being and divine nature has been hidden by the Adam dream and by eons of false education. We need right education, because without it, we are in danger of taking scholastically educated people seriously. Jesus told the materially educated around him that they knew not whence they came. But he said, "I know whence I came and whither I go. I came from the Father, mind, and I go to the Father, mind." When Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us truth, the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen truth, the Father. Jesus was trying to tell Philip that good is to be realized. It is not to be achieved. The kingdom of God is within you. All of infinite good is already where you are, just as all of the round earth was right where everyone thought the flat earth was. We must learn to turn within and let the imprisoned splendor come into visible being. This is done as Christian Science awakens us from the cruel dream and hypnotic state presently holding us in bondage to the belief that we live in a matter body and can be fearful, sick, sinning, selfish, sensual, sad, or sorrowful. The day is coming, and it will be a great and wonderful day, when we will look to no authority outside our own divinity, our own real mind. A Greek legend tells us of how the gods, in searching for a place to hide truth so that man could not find it and thereby become their equal, finally decided that the safest place would be where man had never been known to look, within himself. But today this has changed. Because of the second coming of the Christ, man is looking within himself. He is becoming aware that God is his own mind, becoming aware that infinite good is not a separate wisdom from the wisdom we possess, and that existence separate from divinity, science explains, as impossible. Why? Because in reality we are wedded to divinity. We are one with it. The mind that is God is our real mind. Mary Baker Eddy's great revelation divorces us from matter and weds us to infinite good, to that inner realization that causes harmony to appear. We are spirit, a synonym for God, she insists in the first edition, telling us that our own real mind is God, and this real mind that is our Christ mind is the creator of all. Meaning, that which sees the omnipresence of present perfection. There is no God up in the sky that does the creating. You are not a channel for God. When you know enough, you, like Jesus, can say, I am the truth. In reality, you are individual mind. The Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things. Your real, true mind is the only creator. See definition of creator in Science and Health. You are never separated from God. Our wonderful astronauts found this to be true when they walked on the moon. We were not alone, they reported. A spiritual presence was there. Our Christ nature. Christ is the true knowledge of infinite good. There is no other Christ. Christ is the divine manifestation of God, of the mind that you are, which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. We are to leave our nets, leave the search for more and better human good, and have only the godlike desire to grow spiritually. Quote, entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, unquote. Your real state of existence. Mary Baker Eddy has translated our being out of matter into the ideas of mind. The three great verities of spirit that Mrs. Eddy says you are, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, spirit possessing all power, filling all space, constituting all science, contradict forever the belief that matter can be actual. Christ is the nature of God within mankind. Jesus said, Ye shall know the truth, a synonym for God, and the truth shall make you free. With these words, Jesus confirms our God nature, for you can only know the truth if you have or are the mind of God. The infinite good, the mind that is God, is our real mind, expressing itself as what is called man, idea, image, likeness. This expression may look like you and me, but it is all God, since God is all. God is at once both God and man, both mind, your mind, and its manifestation. The scientific statement of being tells us all is infinite mind, your real mind, and its infinite manifestation. In this revolutionary knowledge, we find the truth about ourselves. This divine truth solves the basic problem, namely, the belief that man is a person, whereas man, in reality, is the divine manifestation of our true mind. Mrs. Eddy told Mr. Carpenter, "Church scientists fail to make their demonstration because they believe they are man rather than God." Unquote. God's chosen people are those who understand man to be the full manifestation of infinite mind. As reflection, man includes the universe. Looking through the lens of Christian Science, through the lens of spirit, we realize it is how we see, not what we see, that determines our experience. If we are right, good and perfect in our thinking, we will be right, good and perfect in our experience. This is so because our real mind expresses itself mentally in all that is true, right, and good. It is important to understand that divine ideas do not come to you. They originate as the I that I am, as God, your real mind, expressing itself. The more we learn about God, infinite good, and about our true being as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the more the belief that man has existence or mind separate from God fades out. We learn that as reflection, man includes the universe, and we honor God when we ascribe to ourselves only divine qualities, since God is the mind of man. No person, no living being has a mind separate from God. Genius is asleep in every consciousness in that kingdom of God within. There are many cases where certain mental faculties seem to be almost entirely lacking, and yet they have been built up so that they have powerfully buttressed and stimulated the whole character. This was the case of the hero Forrest Gump in a recent award-winning movie. He lacked much mentally, but through sterling character qualities, he made it all the way to being honored by the President of the United States. Animals, too, can demonstrate mind. Years ago, my husband Bill and I took in a stray dog, and every Saturday for a year we took Charlie to obedience school. At the end of that time, Charlie's teacher suggested entering him in the current dog show. Charlie was the only mongrel, and being a bit of everything, he was entered as All-American. Several hundred people were in attendance. Round after round of applause greeted Charlie's perfect response to commands, and he would have won first prize, but he failed on the last command. The hall echoed sadness as many voiced regret, exclaiming "Ah!" and "Oh!" in sympathetic disappointment for the underdog, Charlie the mongrel. Charlie's mastery showed him to be a manifestation of mind as much as you or I. Quote, "God is the life or intelligence which forms and preserves the individuality of animals as well as of men." Unquote. Because the whole world is inundated in false beliefs, we have to work to learn the truth, just as Charlie worked to master his commands. In reality, we, as the principal, are the knower, but we have to work to align ourselves with our God nature so that we can continually know the truth. Two meanings for man. Because Mrs. Eddy and the Bible both give or employ two meanings for the word man, confusion has entered. We must understand that Mrs. Eddy sometimes uses man to mean people or mankind, to signify thinking individuals. For example, she says, "To become wholly spiritual, man must be sinless."